Let's have prayer together. And Ramir, would you lead us in prayer, please? One of our college students.
Yeah,
thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, very thankful for today. Very thankful for this leadership conference, Lord. Very thankful for Dr. Brown to stand up for us, Lord, to teach us, Lord. Teach us how to better serve you, Lord. And I pray that you just speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and also be with Dr. Brown, Lord, and give him the wisdom and the right words to say, Lord. Thank you and love you. Praise you all through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As you go over the outline today with me in the next 30 minutes, one of the things that you might notice, since we're at a leadership conference in a Baptist church that's fundamental in its outlook and hopes that we follow the scriptures in what we do and honor Christ, you might notice there are no Bible verses. And I'm giving you a disclaimer to start. There are no Bible verses, but I'm going to open with a verse. And that verse is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, if you need to go there. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I could add addresses at the end of some paragraphs to make it look spiritual. I don't think it's unspiritual, the outline, but most of this outline comes from a sound mind. We live in a world where there's lots of influence of various Bible talks about voices, different opinions and all, but God has given us reason. God has given us sensibility, and sometimes I think because of habits, because of traditions, because it's always been done this way, or a sense of, well, I'm just the teacher and I don't worry about those other things. Sometimes we overlook what common sense says is something that's helpful in various ministries, including Sunday school. So the Alpha and Omega part is that, in particularly thinking of children, is that children come into a building and they come into a Sunday school area. Could be a large area where several age groups are meeting for assembly and they're going to sing songs and have a Bible verse and then they're going to dismiss to smaller groups. It might be a number of smaller rooms and each room is an age group or a gender class and such. So your churches are differing from one another in the resources they have, in the architecture they have, in size, the kinds of rooms. So we're all a little different, but when children come in, they all have the same kind of eye and ear. They all have the same kind of impression making. And I think we want children to come to Sunday school. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, isn't that our purpose? We're not trying to keep them away. And if we can help with an ability to prepare them to want to come back next week as they go home and they talk to mom and dad, or as they go home and think over what they've done in the last couple hours. That's the service, that's junior church, might be your Sunday school class. To want to come back is important. And our logic and our abilities to kind of analyze and look and help them in ways to want to come back is the emphasis of this class, of this particular workshop. I've worked with children for many years, not in recent years, unless we want to talk our 20-year-olds from college as children, and I try to avoid that. I call them adults, even though I don't believe it yet. But I call them adults. But when we're talking about smaller children in particular, they are human. They have first impressions. They are human, they have last impressions. They are human and they have preferences. They are human and they have a sense of acceptance and well-being, or they have a sense of rejection and apathy. They're human beings and they have reactions. And if we want them to come back so we can continue growing them spiritually, continue teaching them the principles of Christ, continue watching their lives be transformed into functioning, worshiping, godly adults, Well, it has to be more than 1 week. It has to be more than five times in a year. And so we want to do everything we can to encourage them to return. That's simple. And that's what that first little paragraph says. In the middle it says, I suggest if a child has an enjoyable experience when they arrive and an enjoyable experience just before they depart, then they'll be likely to want to come back. So the alpha is what happens when they arrive, and the omega is, in the Greek alphabet, everyone here is likely to know alpha's the first letter, like A in the English alphabet. Omega is the last letter. In the English alphabet, it's Z. It's not omega, but alpha and omega is a phrase used in the Bible, so that sounded really spiritual. Amen? It said, ooh, this is a Christian class. All right. So some things to be mindful of when folks come. And as you read this, because you can read it ahead even further than I've talked, as you read it, you might say, well, of course this is real. My wife and I have visited numbers of churches over the years. We've been members of a few churches, saved in a community church in Michigan in 1972, baptized and joined a church in Michigan that year. That's the second church. It was closer to our home. Went away to Bible college. That's the third church. Served in my home church again. That's still only three. Served in a church in Georgia, fourth church. Planted a church in Connecticut, fifth church. Served on the staff here, approaching our 20th anniversary. That's a sixth church. And we've had opportunities, mostly because of the college, sometimes vacations and such, to visit a lot of other churches. And it's amazing the things you see. Can you picture, if you can, walking into a church? It's an older building, but a nice structure, kind of very traditional, very New England-y. But you notice that all the light bulbs aren't working. Now, this isn't Sunday school. This is first impressions. Not all the light bulbs are working, and the woodwork is wonderful. It's traditional. It's old, but it's very dark wood. So it's kind of a dingy room. And then it's pews, old-fashioned pews. Great, a nice platform. But the last row, I got to make sure that former pastor isn't here. Anyway, no, he'll watch it on the streaming. No, he's retired. That last row is piled high with yellowing, withered swords of the Lord. Years worth of swords of the Lord. And the leaders were very proud that they were there because they said, we can give those away as gifts to visitors. A musty, old, yellowed sword of the Lord. Why, thank you. I'm so delighted to have this gift. My first impression wasn't extremely positive. You say, well, everyone could see that. No, not everyone could. We get so used to things. At Central Baptist Church, pastor once in a while will tell the staff, start looking around the things that need to be fixed. Well, nothing needs to be fixed. It's all, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there's that door that squeaks, and there's that part of the carpet that got stained, and there's that, you know, and when we start to think and look, there's a lot of things that have just grown on us. In visiting churches, spider webs have grown on people. Spider webs. Stains on walls. You know, 3 weeks ago, a child spilled a beverage that they probably shouldn't have had in class anyway, but it ran down the wall, and it's still on the wall. Well, that's not up to the teacher, right? Well, see, that's an issue we need to change. So this has to do with a child comes in with open eyes. That child might be a kindergartner. That child might be in sixth grade. But a child comes in with open eyes. Here are some things. I mentioned studies in business and industry have shown that the appearance of the room has a drastic effect on the performance of the people in the room. So the appearance of the room affects the Sunday school teachers and helpers, and it affects the children being taught. And here are some things. When the children arrive, the light should be on. Yeah, sound mind says that, right? power and love. Of course the light should be on. Do you know how many classrooms tomorrow a child will arrive? They're going to be the first one there. Teachers aren't coming. They're running a little behind. The lights are out. And the child turns them on themselves, or the child sits in the dark. What does that tell the child? Nobody cares if I'm here. That might be one message. They're not prepared. That might be another message. Punctuality isn't important. I don't have to be on time in my classes either. I don't have to be on time for the bus. I don't have to be on... What's it teaching? Certainly isn't teaching, hey, we're all excited and we're ready to go. And I've been waiting for you. No. So if boys and girls arrive and the lights are out, they feel you're not ready for them. The brighter the lights, the better. Bright lights bring participation. Now, we don't want to be overwhelming. And we do have limitations. These fluorescent lights are bright. Okay, you can read by these lights. It's at a reading level. But if you're in a Sunday school room where the light bulbs are partially out, some of them are out, and you're having a hard time reading, well, the kids are having a hard time reading. And again, some of this comes down to, I'm just the teacher. That should be up to the custodian. We're going to have to ditch that attitude. You own the room during that Sunday school hour. You own the room as the teacher. And you need to take that tack with other people. Okay, I'll say more about that in a few moments. The room should be clean, C-L-E-A-N, clean. We may not be able to vacuum on Sunday morning, but we can put unsightly trash away. The trash that may have come from the refreshments that you served leaving the class last week. And you know, the person that should have emptied, should have, could have, would have, didn't. And so you have the food left over, you have the smell of the food left over, you have the little, the health department calls them vectors. They're little insects with legs that crawl around. And you've got some of those. No, you say, well, that's an exaggeration. It might be, but it might not be. When the children walk in, they don't know that. They don't notice that. They're kids, really. They're humans to start with, and they're just smaller, younger humans that are making first events in their lives, not just first impression, first time in a Sunday school class ever in their whole life. And there's garbage. Wow. At home, Mom won't allow that garbage. Now you say, well, a lot of kids at home, they see it too. Look, do you want to go with the lowest possible experience or the highest possible experience? So trash can be emptied. Bits and pieces on the floor, even if you have to get on your hands and knees and pick it up. Or bring your own little portable vac. Or you say, well, how can you do this? I mean, you've got class. Maybe you have to come by on Saturday as a teacher. Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about commitment. Duh. Teaching isn't just I arrive 1 minute before my class hour, I hope, and I leave right at the end because everything else is someone else's. No, as a teacher, you need to package the entire thing. So the alpha is things that need to be ready when the children come. The lights need to be on. It needs to be a clean atmosphere. If storage is a must in your room because people... Here in this room, as an example, there are music items in the back. There are storage cabinets. And now I've told my wife, folks are going to look around or folks are going to listen. There was some particular thing I may bring up later. But I said, you know, I'm going to be held accountable for the room as soon as I get this. And I looked around and, you know, that cabinet is open and that's ugly. So, Enrique... Is that a closable cabinet? Want to try it for me? Okay. You say, you're just making a point. Yes, I am, and it's not the worst thing on earth. But it would be especially bad if it was right here. Okay. So when you have storage in your room, when other people are using the room, then you have to anticipate that. Now, this is a nice, something positive. This is a nice setup. It's clean. The last workshop used the wall as a screen, and images were projected on the wall. So that's good. It's nice and clean. It's open. That's good. If this room for music was set up facing that way, I wouldn't want that as my backdrop for my class. I might have to come in every Saturday, or very early every Sunday morning. Well, I don't want to go to class early on Sunday. My whole family has to go early then. And my kids, okay, then maybe you need to go to the church at 6 o'clock in the morning, set up your room, go back to your house, finish getting ready, and then drive in with your family. Well, that's a sacrifice. Yeah. And the Lord will bless you for it. If that was the normal way, if all these chairs normally were facing that way, perhaps for a reason of music unbeknownst to me, I would come in on Saturday and I would turn every one of these chairs around so they face this wall, because it's a good wall. This is the correct setup. But I would do that. Because you want the students to feel that their class and they themselves are very important. That it's for them. That they're not meeting in the storeroom. They're not meeting under the stairway. That it's for them. You say, well, our church is growing so big, we do have kids under the stairway. Well, then talk to them about it. Our church is growing so big. We're privileged. They've asked us. Are you kids so involved with Sunday school and you like it so much you'd even be willing to sit under the stairway? And I said, yes, our kids will do that. Are you ready? Yeah, 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 yeah. You say, do kids really do that? Well, actually, it's amazing how enthusiastic kids can get. If you're not, I'm sorry, kids, we have to meet under the stairway. I don't know how long it has to go on. But I'm confident you'll come every week anyway. Nope. So, lights on, clean, and as much as possible, organized. A disorderly room implies a disorderly God. Number three, old posters and announcements, etc., should be removed. Now, the first Sunday school grouping that I was involved in after I'd been saved a little while, I got started in the bus ministry, I was asked to teach Sunday school, and then I became one of the supervisors of some age groups and such years and years ago. And one of the things was we shared rooms with a Christian school. Christian school, of course, was there how many days a week? Five. Okay, good answer. Okay, keep up with me. It's hard mathematics. Sunday school teachers are there how many days a week? So the assumption of the school teacher says, this is my room and you're infringing on it. Don't touch anything. Sorry. Sunday morning Sunday school, you own the room. I said that before. Now we had to meet with teachers. We communicated. We had to meet with teachers and Sunday school teachers, Christian school teachers and Sunday school teachers, and explain them things. For example, if this is the only whiteboard here, and as a teacher I want to use this whiteboard, if it was the only one, and I want to use it, maybe I want to put something on it with Funtac. I make it a bulletin board. But I want to use this whiteboard, but up in the corner it says SAVE, and it's written completely from one end to the other, from top to bottom, everything. Vocabulary words, history, take-home papers, everything. And of course, when it says save, it means do not touch. We actually worked out with the Christian school teachers, and we reordered the room and put more bulletin boards. In this room, there's another bulletin board. So depending on where that might be fastened, maybe over there, maybe where it is, One of those could be used by the Sunday school as a whiteboard to write on or as a bulletin board to post things on. But the other alternative is that you can bring in your own stand, easel, and have your own smaller bulletin board or theme board or something of that nature. And that went from 3 to 4, but let's go back to 3. Let's go back to 3. Old posters, announcements, etc. should be removed. And no matter what church you're in, and no matter whether you have a Christian school or not, no matter whether other people use that room during the week, perhaps junior church right after you, doesn't really matter. There's no reason in this room, and they're not, there's no reason in this room that there are old, withered, rolled up announcements for Vacation Bible School last summer. There's no reasons in this room that there are going to be various announcements stuck up perhaps with scotch tape or fun tack, maybe nice and neat, but about a cantata last Easter. I'm sorry, that was 2 weeks ago. Well, I didn't know if I had permission to take it down. I guarantee that no one's going to object for you taking down things like that, even in a Christian school setting. I mean, they're old. They're no longer useful. And if you thought, well, they were very nicely done, maybe the teacher needs to save something, fine, take them down, store them, you know, present them to the teacher in a bag, whatever. But as a Sunday school teacher, you need to get rid of some of that stuff. Because again, if your kids are able to read, and it doesn't take very many years before they're, then they look. Oh. Mr. Brown, yes? Is that last year's Vacation Bible School? Yes. Oh, no. No, actually it's not. It's 2 years ago. Oh, I thought I remembered that. So, say it takes extra work to do that. I'm giving you a whole list of things that take extra work. Just so a child walks in the room and thinks it's ready for them. Just for that. Now, should you spend more time preparing your lesson than cleaning rooms? Oh, I think the lesson's the most important thing. I'm not reducing that. I'm saying these are additions that some teachers, after the first year they taught, and they did all these things. And then the second year, well, my schedule's changed. I don't have quite as much time. But I'm doing some of them. And the third year, I don't think it's too important. The kids don't notice. Ah, we're back to that. And remember, every child comes the first time. Well, all the kids come. They understand. Well, isn't it the visitor you want to come back? Isn't it the child that's getting just old enough to say, why do I have to go to Sunday school? Daddy doesn't go. Why do I have to go to Sunday school? My older teenage brother doesn't go. No, because he's in jail. No, I'm sorry, that's a little too extreme. Okay, but just we get used to things and we make excuses because it is imposing. It takes our time. It takes our attention. Number 5, have a bulletin board decorated with something to do with the present Sunday school emphasis. These are whiteboards. You can use them that way. Or again, an easel and a small bulletin board that you take back and forth. For the first 8 years of White Oak Baptist Church, I was a church planner. My wife is here. We were church planners in Stratford, Connecticut, at White Oak Baptist. And for the first 8 years, we had a rental building on Sundays only. Saturday night, a crew of folks, anywhere from 5 to 10 people, would come Saturday night and set up everything that was stored in an underground storage area. I don't say basement, it was really rough. Okay, it was a marina. But we had to carry it all outside and upstairs and put it up, including our missionary boards, okay, including any announcement boards. And we used fishing tackle and clips. When there was a ceiling like this, you could clip and hang. But if you're the Sunday school teacher, you don't want to bring in a ladder here and do that. But you could have an easel and a bulletin board with a theme. They come right inside the door, and the theme might be this month's theme might be mountains and valleys. That's the Sunday school campaign. What's the Sunday school campaign going on now, Brother Wright, for the children? What?
Facing the Giants.
Bulletin board, Facing the Giants. And you've got some giants on there. One of them is likely to be Goliath, you know. But then you've got the giants of peer pressure and the giants for a teenage class. The giants of materialism, the giants of... Okay, and they see that for 5 weeks. You say, well, I suppose it could be changed, but that's your theme. And as they come in, they're reminded of that. They're reminded of that. So if you don't have space for bulletin boards on the walls, you need to be able to prepare. And does a student, whether a teenager or a kindergartner, know that someone had to make that bulletin board? Someone had to do that. Who is that? The teacher that loves them. The teacher that loves them. And they don't put it into words, but their minds are working. Someone has prepared. Someone was here before me. Someone knew my name, right, Debbie? Mrs. Tangway walked in and I greeted her by name, and she's a fantastic and experienced Sunday school teacher. And she said, well, I was doing it the right way. I was starting right. All I knew was cows in the next two rows, but I'll work on that. Have your visual aids, your memory cards, your roll call poster, etc., all in place before class so you'll not have to search for them later as the children, are in place. So if you need to, if the memory verse is going to be over there, you could have your memory cards there for your helper. If something else is somewhere else, have them staged, but have them. How many times have you seen a Sunday school teacher, if you have any experience at all, have visited anywhere, has a big bag over their shoulder, and they come in, and during the class, they're reaching here, they're looking there, I've got it right here, I'm sure I have it right here. Oh, wait a minute, maybe I left it in the car. I don't think so, wait a minute. Every time your pace stops is a distraction to the kids. When you're doing something else, they're still thinking. Boy, her hair looks really, really alluring. I can't wait to grab it. Ah! Okay. Me? No, everything's fine. Kids, they need to work on a pace. I'm going to need to work on a pace. I've got to go faster. Have only one entry. There's only one here in this room, but some rooms have two. 205, where I was just at, I had two entries. You don't want folks coming in while you're teaching. You don't want them walking across. You don't want them to be able to escape without going past your helper or an adult. Only use one entry at a time. Number 7, the importance of the teacher greeting at the student as he or she arrives cannot be overemphasized. A smile and a warm welcome that shows the kids you love them. You can use your words and say that, and that's good, but just smiling, greeting them in a right way, an appropriate way, is a way to say I love you. Turn to the back for the Omega. The happy ending memory. So, to emphasize what I just started, schedule every minute of your class. Have a detailed schedule. It doesn't mean that you follow it perfectly. I'm an example of that right now. I'm supposed to have 7 minutes left right now. I don't, okay? But it means that things are moving along. There are no dead spots, okay? Now, today, boys and girls, I've got a recording. I've got a recording of a puppet script, and we're going to talk about it. I'm sorry I don't have a projector, but I've got the script, and we'll listen to it. Let's see. Oh, that outlet, that's a long ways away. I don't have an extension cord. Well, maybe, you've lost the class. Yeah. And when those visitors, they're thinking, boy, I could be watching my video games. I could be, okay. The schedule will keep the class going at a good pace. It will minimize boredom, and boredom brings misbehavior. Okay? At the very end, I'm going to summarize it this way. At the end of class, have something exciting and something happy to end. As opposed to, okay, boys and girls, we've now finished the lesson. We've discovered Jesus is resurrected. Amen. Isn't that great? Every head up bowed, every eye closed. And we're going to have an invitation, which I have to hurry because, and then we're going to dismiss. Well, it's wonderful. You should have an invitation. There should be things like that. It should be planned and somewhere earlier. So the last thing you do in class is something fun. That could be singing choruses with motions and such for little kids. Okay. It could be a game with prizes. It could be something that you're handing out if you're having snacks or whatever. You could be handing them and reminding them, don't eat these in the auditorium. But as they leave the class, it's a friendly place. They've had a good time. If the first impression is good and they're happy, smiling, when they leave, it's chances are better next week that when mom says, we're getting ready for Sunday school, they don't say, oh, Sunday school. Yeah. They say, oh, yeah, today we're going to do this. Brother Wright told us. Okay. So as they exit, give them something exciting. Don't miss it. And for women, for ladies, give your kids a hug. You know, with all that goes on today and all the problems today, I don't recommend that male teachers hug the kids. Okay? But for ladies, you have a wonderful opportunity that men don't have these days. Hug your kids and tell them, men and women, we love you. We love you here at the church. Associate the church with the love. Okay, we're good.